it is tough to be in public service, and he made a decision in favor of his family.
Alaska's Attorney General resigns. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly for Friday, November 25th. Good evening, I'm Annie Feit. Also tonight, a Thanksgiving tradition in Unalaska that matches Coast Guard members with local families.
People get really homesick, so we tried it out that first year, and we had a riot.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Today's broadcast of Alaska News Nightly is presented by
the Pebble Partnership, developing a comprehensive mine plan that meets Alaska's regulatory requirements while supporting sustainable fisheries in southwest Alaska. PebblePartnership.com.
Arctic Wire Rope and Supply, stocking rope, chain, and boat anchors from 5 to 3,000 pounds on the web at ArcticWireRope.com. And by Wells Fargo, providing Alaskans steps to help reach their financial goals. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A.
Alaska's Attorney General is resigning. John Burns will stay on the job until January 2nd. In a letter to the governor, Burns says the decision was based solely on personal reasons. He goes on to say he has had to live out of a suitcase, which is not fair to his family in Fairbanks. Anchorage Democrat Hollis French is chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He was a supporter of Burns and will help choose the state's next attorney general. French appreciates Burns' reasons, but says his resignation is disappointing.
The first time we met, he came into my office, looked me in the eye, shook my hand, and said, "I'm not a politician. I'm just, you know, I've been asked to serve, and I'm going to serve." And it was really just a nice, refreshing sort of introduction to a person who really put his heart and soul into the job for a year and now has to step down because of the demands of the job.
Burns became Attorney General only 11 months ago. There's been high turnover in the position in recent years, and French says that's unfortunate since it takes a long time to get up to speed in the job. He says the state would be much better off with a long-serving Attorney General.
I don't know what the number is, but it just seems like over the last, you know, half dozen years, we've probably been through a half a dozen Attorneys General. And it's a big job, it's an important job, and, you know, what you hope for is some longevity, because it does take a long time to get up to speed and to get your handle on the different legal challenges that the state faces.
Governor Parnell was not available to comment today. In a statement, he says he accepted Burns' resignation with reluctance. Parnell's spokesperson says she expects the governor to begin interviewing potential candidates for the job in the coming weeks. Charles Herron of Bethel, son of State Representative Bob Herron, was found Wednesday after a search in sub-zero weather. Charles wandered into minus 35-degree wind chill sometime around 4 o'clock Wednesday morning. Bethel search and rescue volunteers went into high alert after they learned he left without a coat or shoes. KYUK's Shane Iverson reports.
A brief search for a missing Bethel man has ended successfully. Bethel Search and Rescue located Charles Herron, son of State Representative Bob Herron, after he went missing into dangerous winter temperatures. Charles Herron went missing after he walked outside and into the cold without a coat sometime around 4 a.m. this morning. Search and Rescue President Peter Atchek says volunteers were able to track a set of footprints, leading them to believe that Herron was walking without shoes at the time. The barefoot tracks were found near the Fish and Wildlife Building. Then it appeared he walked towards the Bethel Cultural Center. They lost his trail at the highway and were hopeful that someone had picked him up. Atchek says Bethel police contacted local cab companies to see if Herron made any contact with their drivers. Bethel police had no one available to speak about the situation. Meanwhile, search and rescue volunteers fanned out throughout the city. Atchek says they located Herron in the trailer court over a mile from where his footprints were last tracked. This was sometime around 1 p.m. He said he was taken to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation's hospital for possible frostbite.
That was Shane Iverson reporting from Bethel. In northeast China, just 87 miles from the North Korean border, lies the city of Benxi. The region's steep slopes and narrow valleys channel 33 inches of annual rainfall into a reservoir that holds China's first salmon farm. The farm may be the start of new competition for Alaska's wild-caught salmon. Earlier this month, freelance reporter Bob Takach visited and has the story.
Currently, we have four 24-meter tanks at the farm. and has two species, trout and chinook.
That's Yan Peng, managing director of Benshi Agrimarine Industries, a subsidiary of British Columbia-based Agrimarine Incorporated, the company that designed what may be the most high-tech fish farm in the world. These aren't net pens, but a completely closed containment system. The tanks are built of a composite material similar to that used for the blades of wind generators. Each of what will be a six-tank system when the farm is fully built is 78 feet in diameter. The entire shebang, which cost about $300,000 per tank, floats in the 150-foot deep reservoir. In winter, ice on the water is about 2 feet thick. In summer, cool water from its depths is pumped into the tanks to allow constant, precise temperature control. Agrimarine began operations in 2009 with steelhead trout, mostly because they're relatively easy to grow and feed was readily available from Chinese manufacturers. This year, it produced 200 tons of steelhead, which sold well in white tablecloth restaurants in Beijing and Shanghai. 500,000 each of Chinook and Coho eggs that arrived last year from a BC producer were raised in Agrimarine's nearby spring-fed hatchery, and fingerling Chinook went into the water late last year. Yan Peng says they'll be ready for harvest soon.
But next year, we will switch to Chinook and Coho. For Chinook, probably 200 tons to 300 tons for Chinook. And Coho will be 2013, around 300 as well.
Market reception to Benshi steelhead began with questions as to why the fish didn't contain the pretty white stripes of fat that are a hallmark of Norwegian Atlantics that are also a standard product in Chinese and international supermarket chains here. A quality fresh product overcame the appearance issues, and Ed Tripe, the Benshi farm manager from Campbell River, B.C., says word of the homegrown seafood is spreading.
So there's definitely a lot of interest from local buyers. And, you know, when I say local buyers, I mean Chinese buyers to stay within China.
And is that a point of pride when they hear it's being produced in-country rather than imported, have you noticed?
Pride and more fish quality. Because these fish here today will be in Shanghai tonight.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute has been promoting wild Alaska salmon in China since 1997. Back then, the product was too expensive. Sales have been improving slowly, and at the China Seafood Exposition earlier this month, several Chinese companies that have been buying Alaska salmon for reprocessing and export said they are planning to open domestic sales division. The move is a response to the wealth and demand for safe quality foods from the growing prosperous middle class. Now it appears that as the market for Alaska's premier salmon has arrived, the Chinese competition will be ready to meet it. Reporting from Benshi, China, this is Bob Takach.
Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, reviving the lost art of tinkering in Juneau.
You can learn about how things work, why things work, explore scientific questions, phenomena.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
Crowley, providing tanker escorts, fuel delivery, and energy support services to Alaskans for over 50 years. From Valdez to the North Slope, Crowley knows Alaska. Crowley.com.
Alaska Housing Finance Corporation celebrates four decades of adding stability and security to our economy by settling Alaska families into homes across the state. This message sponsored by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation.
The Alaska Marine Highway System plans to change a policy that keeps many horse owners from taking their animals on ferries. Currently, anyone transporting a horse or other large animal must make a $1,000 deposit. It's most often returned after the trip ends, but any necessary cleanup costs are deducted from the deposit. Horse owners protested the policy, saying it was so expensive it kept young equestrians from showing up and competing in other towns. Ferry Chief Mike Newsel says he's working on a different system.
We're actually looking at not actually holding money, which is what we do right now. So we're actually looking at the possibility of holding the credit card information and having customers be liable for that, but not actually taking their money unless there is a spill that necessitates a cleanup that generates expense.
The Marine Transportation Advisory Board talked to horse owners and youth group leaders at a September meeting in Skagway. Members were told that Juno 4-H Club equestrians could not attend the State Fair in Haines because of the cost. Board members and others asked ferry managers to search for an alternate fee system. The holiday buying season officially kicked off today. To help parents and grandparents shopping for children, the Alaska Public Interest Research Group has released this year's report of dangerous or potentially dangerous toys. KSKA's Lynn Anderson reports.
Matt Wallace, executive director for the research group, says predecessors to this 26th annual report have had a positive impact on toy safety.
Over the years, the report has helped lead to at least 150 recalls and other actions to get hazardous toys off store shelves.
Wallace says in general, holiday shoppers can be pretty confident that the toys they buy will not endanger the youthful recipients.
The toys today are definitely safer, probably, than they've ever been, especially thanks to federal legislation passed in 2008, the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act. The agency that's charged with actually enforcing safe products, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, finally has the tools, the resources, and the authority it needs to really do its job.
The federal interest in toy safety came after a wave of toxic toys in 2007 and 2008. But Wallace notes if overall safer, some important exceptions remain.
Key findings for the 2011 report include toys that contain high levels of lead and high levels of phthalates, which are two chemicals that are now regulated and regulated more strictly for children's products.
Among the toys exceeding the phthalate standard are funny glasses by Joking Around and sleep mask by Claire's. Because the lead standard was recently tightened, toys which met the previous acceptable level but exceed the new one are also included, because some stores are selling the toys until sold out. Examples are Little Hands Love Book, Whirly Wheel, Peace Sign Bracelet by Family Dollar, and Honda Motorcycle by Honda. Wallace says the potentially dangerous toys list focuses beyond single encounters with toxic elements.
The concern when it comes to toxics is extended exposure over time. And the reason, of course, we focus on children's products is that while these chemicals might exist in a lot more classes of products, kids are more sensitive. And they're more likely to do things like put stuff in their mouths, which increases their risk of long-term exposure.
Another category represents a more immediate danger.
We also found toys on store shelves that pose a potential choking hazard. Choking on toys, toy parts, balloons, small balls, these have long been the leading cause of children's deaths and serious injuries from playing with toys.
Making the 2011 potentially choking hazard list are wooden blocks set by Toysmith and Sesame Street doll Oscar by Sesame Workshop and various bin, ball, and marble toys. Some toys passing the small part test, but near enough to cause concern or lacking choking hazard notices, Haba Fruit in a Bag by Haba, and Flat Baby Blocks and Square Counting Blocks, distributed by Greenbrier International. In Anchorage, this is Len Anderson.
The Juneau Economic Development Council has started a weekly program to help kids learn how to tinker with things. It's called The Saturday Thing. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
Ethan Madsen is 7 years old, almost eight, and a regular at The Saturday Thing.
I built a rocket, kind of mess around with recycling and put it together and see what I can build.
On a recent weekend, Madsen is busy building a robotic arm that will be powered by four separate motors.
The one is for the fingers to open and close. The other is for the wrist. The next is for the elbow joint. And the last is the base motor that will allow it to move.
Since September, JEDC has offered the Saturday Thing every weekend at its STEM education office. STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. JEDC education specialist Bob Veith says the kids who attend the program are exposed to a little bit of everything.
We do chemistry, we do force and motion, physics, magnetism, electricity, optics, engineering, you know, how things go together, gear ratios. It's just across the board.
Every week, Veith comes up with a different scientific concept to explore, but mostly the Saturday thing is an opportunity for kids to tinker with things.
It's kind of a lost art, and you can learn so much through tinkering. You can learn about how things work, why things work, explore scientific questions, phenomena.
What is tinkering exactly? Veith says it involves building things and taking things apart.
We've got vacuum cleaners for kids to take apart and look at how they work. Kids look at how you can take apart computers and look at how they work. Just taking apart stuff is a learning experience in and of itself.
So what's the plan for Ethan Madsen's robotic arm when he's done building it?
Mr. Bob, he wants to put it in the window and just have it move around, maybe pick up a few things and move them around.
Ethan's dad, Andy, an electrical engineer, says the Saturday thing has been a great opportunity for the whole family to experiment, learn, and, of course, tinker.
He's learned how to solder down here and build rockets, and Bob has a launcher, so we've gone next door and launched the rockets. My 2-year-old daughter even comes down with us, and she sits and works on Legos, and so everybody is invited. Nobody's turned away.
The Saturday thing is free. Because Veith is the only staff member there, it's limited to 10 kids per week. Veith says donations of items for kids to tinker with are always appreciated. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by First National Bank Alaska, working shoulder to shoulder with Alaskan businesses for nearly a century. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. And by Doyon Limited, Interior Alaska's regional native corporation, providing oil field services, government contracting, and natural resource development in Alaska and across the nation. Information at doyon.com. Support for AK comes from the Federal Aviation Administration, setting standards for the operation of aircraft in airports. FAA.gov/go/flyalaska or toll free at 1-866-357-4704.
Ketchikan,
Kotzebue,
Dillingham,
Sitka,
Chugia,
Fairbanks,
Fort Yukon,
Wrangell,
Barrow,
Unalaska, Dutch Harbor,
Alaknarechmute.
This is AK on Alaska News Nightly. I'm Dave Waldron. This week on AK, what else? Thanksgiving. A few years ago in Unalaska, a new Turkey Day tradition was born. It was Mayor Shirley Marquardt's idea, and she gave it a catchy name, Host a Coastie. When the Coast Guard deploys, they leave their homes and their families behind for months at a time, and that's rough around the holidays. Marquardt grew up in a Coast Guard family, and she saw this firsthand. So several years ago, she reached out to local families and asked if they would be willing to host crew members for Thanksgiving dinner. The Coast Guard cutter Sherman has been out patrolling the Bering Sea this fall, but they pulled into port just in time for Thanksgiving. KUCB's Stephanie Joyce has the story.
Just a little more quiet, reserved, more family type.
Speed matchmaking.
That's Coast Guard Captain Joe Hester. It's Wednesday afternoon, the day before Thanksgiving, and we're sitting in Hester's office on board the cutter Sherman. Sitting opposite Hester is Unalaska City Mayor Shirley Marquardt. She's reading from a stack of forms in front of her.
There's going to be about at least 15 people at this one. They will be watching football starting at 11. This is going to be pretty rambunctious and fun.
Lieutenant Jackie Ramirez and an enlisted crew member who prefers to remain anonymous scan a list of crew who've signed up to spend Thanksgiving with a local family.
Yeah, you probably know.
You and the DC2 can play matchmakers.
As far as pairing people up.
Yeah,
like
the first house, second house.
Oh, okay.
Match made. Mayor Marquardt's father was in the Coast Guard, and she says he used to invite crew members back to their house for Thanksgiving.
And I think it was Alex Haley 7 years ago, and they were going to be at Thanksgiving, and I went down, I asked the captain, I said, hey, you know, would it be okay if some, you know, members of the community wanted to bring some of your crew members to their homes for Thanksgiving? And he said, well, yeah, I think that'd be a great idea. You know, people get really homesick. So we tried it out that first year, and we had a riot.
16 Coasties, or about 10% of the Sherman's crew, signed up for dinner this year. Lieutenant Ramirez was one of them.
Said I was open to anything. I wanted good food and open to anything or something like that.
Good food, open to anything.
Yes.
She got that and then some. The local family she was matched with just happened to be the same one that had invited me. Peggy and Campbell McLaughlin host Thanksgiving dinner every year for a crowd of locals, especially folks without big families in town. But this was the first year they invited Coasties. I rode along with Campbell when he went to pick them up.
I'll host Myers and... is it Camille?
Ramirez.
That's Petty Officer Tim Allshouse, Fireman Brendan Myers, and Lieutenant Jackie Ramirez.
Well, it's about time, boys. Who's Allhouse?
I'm
okay. President accounted for and Myers.
Brendan.
How you guys doing?
Nice to
meet you. It's a gamble inviting strangers into your house for a holiday. Like Captain Hester said, it's a little bit of a blind date. It could be really awkward.
Let me take my shoes off, sir.
I can take your boots off. That's fine.
Now you guys just need to make yourself at home. There's some snacks going on there.
Ta-da!
But then again, it could go really well. By the time all 22 guests squeezed in around the table together, everybody was in pretty good spirits.
It's happening.
It's food.
It's happening.
It's food. We are going to have a Thanksgiving prayer, and then, as tradition in this house...
We went around the table and said what we were thankful for. Allshouse summed it up for the Coasties.
For being here, for having people welcome me in their home, for because I can't be at my home, and to not be on the ship on Thanksgiving.
Yes, we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
And Peggy summed it up for the rest of us.
This is my absolute favorite holiday because it doesn't really have any specific religious connotation. So you can have a really big variety of people together and enjoy food and friendship.
And we definitely did enjoy, especially when Petty Officer Allshouse broke out his karaoke microphone.
There is one thing I should have put on the list that I didn't. I didn't think about doing it, even though it's like my pastime. And it's karaoke. I love karaoke. I brought karaoke with me.
You're kidding.
I did it just in case. He was worried about it, but I brought it just in case. I'm like, I don't know if anyone would be down with it, so I'll just bring it. If it comes up, I'll mention it.
Oh, now open your heart to you.
Al, are you ready for pie?
Oh, here you go. I'll play this one, guys, for you. Two guys for you. For you guys. Remember, you were on the domestic last thing. This for Postcard Alaska.
Eight hours after arriving, we were back in the same entryway where Myers had awkwardly asked if he should take off his shoes. But this time around, instead of sirs and ma'ams, hugs and kisses were flying around the room.
He gives a hug.
Do you know what? You know what? It's a European thing.
They only do it twice. They only do it twice.
It turns out Lieutenant Ramirez isn't just good at driving a boat. She's a pretty fine matchmaker as well. For AK, I'm Stephanie Joyce.
Now it's time for 300 Villages, and today we're on the hunt for more good food in Talkeetna. The historic town not far off the park's highway attracts mountaineers, fishermen, and folks just looking for a great meal. Trisha Costello owns and operates the Talkeetna Roadhouse.
I'm Trisha Costello in Talkeetna. The word Talkeetna loosely translates into rivers of plenty, basically a great fishing spot. Around 1917-18, the railroad decided that they would use Talkeetna as their base, their mid-distance base, as they were building the rail from Seward to Fairbanks. So Talkeetna really blossomed in that, you know, 1920, 21, 22, 23, that area there. Because it was a railroad encampment, lots of guys. At that time, you probably could have stood on Main Street and seen Mount McKinley and Foraker, Hunter, the entire Alaska Range, because according to the pictures that have taken of that time period, you know, just about every tree in downtown was sawed down And it was just wall tents everywhere. We get all kinds. I guess you can say that about Talkeetna in general. And locals, folks living up the tracks, coming in for, you know, their shower and their supplies. We get, especially in the summertime, hundreds and hundreds of tourists coming through Talkeetna on their way to experience Denali. Our food is very simple. It's all homemade. We really crack eggs, and we have a 1902 sourdough starter that we use as our base for our sourdough hotcakes, which are so big they flap over the plate. Our bakery cases are full of cinnamon rolls, and I have a family recipe that I grew up with and loved and worked it up into a bakery size. So now we're cranking out cinnamon rolls like crazy. Now, Carol and Verna Close really established the Roadhouse as a place to come for a hearty meal, and lots of it. And people that didn't understand kind of what it was all about would come in and they'd say, oh, I want to order eggs Benedict, I wanted this and I want that. Kind of how the story goes that Carol Close, he was the gentleman, he very small, wiry, kind of cranky. He would come back out with these huge platters of steaming scrambled eggs and potatoes, and he'd plop them right down the middle of the big table. There's your eggs, Benedict!
That was Trisha Costello in Talkeetna. Thanks for listening to AK this week. We had help from Stephanie Joyce and Alan Lockyer. Tune in next week for more unique stories from around the state. I'm Dave Waldron.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at APRN. We had reports tonight from Shane Iverson in Bethel, Bob Tkach in China, Ed Schoenfeld and Casey Kelly in Juneau, and Len Anderson in Anchorage. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron, and I'm Annie Feit. Have a great weekend.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by
the Pebble Partnership, developing a comprehensive mine plan that meets Alaska's regulatory requirements while supporting sustainable fisheries in Southwest Alaska. PebblePartnership.com.
AT&T, rethink possible. Details at att.com/Alaska or 1-800-252-7266. And by Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, committed to safety, operating the Trans-Alaska Pipeline with over 700 employees.
Alaska Housing Finance Corporation celebrates four decades of dependable financing and competitive interest rates for Alaskans. Find out more by asking your lender or real estate professional how Alaska Housing can assist you with buying a home. This message sponsored by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.